KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Well, good morning, and I'm back. Today I'm without Lynn, who's somewhere in Europe, and Randy, who's somewhere in Cottington County, I believe. But he's not here today. My first guest this morning is Mike from the Game, Fish, and Parks. And Mike's going to talk about this upcoming board meeting coming up for the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. We're going to talk about the winter kill, and we're going to talk about the walleye spawn.
Yeah.
And sitting here looking at his notes, I think we're going to start with the walleye spawn update.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for having me, Neil. It's always good to get out on the radio and talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on with Game, Fish, and Parks. And, man, as everybody knows, there's just a lot of things going on, and that's good. That's really good, but we just have to make sure that the public knows what's going on and keep people informed. So, yeah, like you mentioned, talk a little bit about the walleye spawn, a little bit about winter kill, and we can talk a little bit about some commission proposals and looking at a finalization here for May out in Custer State Park on Long Lake, just west of town here, as most of the sportsmen and women know about. Anyways, so fisheries crews are wrapping up this year. They had a statewide goal for spawning of walleye of 120 million eggs. And they wrapped up yesterday, and they just had a banner year. Mother Nature really helped them out. They had catch rates that they've never seen before. Record-breaking days. Yesterday alone on Indian Springs, they had 170 large female walleyes that were ripe, ready to spawn out. In 20 nets, and that's just unheard of. That's just a lot of really good fish. And so they're able to do a lot of different things really quick. It only lasted up here in the Northeast, as far as the spawn goes, really one, like, you know, 4 days of actually working in the field of taking eggs. So it was really quite nice. Ended up with right around probably 140 million eggs, which puts the Blue Dog fishery, fish hatchery at max capacity, maybe even a little bit over. And of course, those fish are going to go all over South Dakota, and a lot of them are going to go into the Northeast lakes here in South Dakota. When we do trap walleyes for spawning fish in the spring, we use frame nets, which are non-kill nets, which the fish will be traveling along the shoreline. They'll hit the lead line, and then they'll follow that lead line back into a box, essentially a box net, and then they sit there. They wait till we come in there. We pick them out of the net, so all fish are released, so there's real minimal loss. So,
oh,
pretty cool deal.
So when I was on Indian Springs the other day, if I had just picked up one of them white buoys, I could have had my limit, just went home.
Yeah, it was there's a lot of real good fish in Indian Springs right now, and
yes, there are.
That'd be a real good one for folks to be going out and fishing, especially post spawn. You know, things start to warm up here, those fish will put they'll get pretty hungry, and they're gonna bite, and
they're not gonna go very far from the spawning grounds before they eat. They'll be right there.
Yeah,
they're nice fish there. We fished it Saturday, and I'm telling you, that lake is healthy. Very healthy.
It is. You're exactly right. In our nets, we had all different sizes of fish, so it was really just, it's a really great fishery. Of course, over there with Black Claw Bait, we have an access through them right there, so folks can go there and put in their boat free of charge. Of course, you can stop at the at Black Claw right there, and you can get bait, and you can get all kinds of other things too. So
absolutely. When do we have a dock in out there, do you suppose?
You know, I'm not quite sure, and that's a good question. I was trying to think of the questions that you guys would ask, and that's one I forgot to ask. But it would be relatively soon.
I would think so.
Yeah, if not already. I would suspect with the weather that we're having right now, I know that they're putting in docks all over Northeast South Dakota right now. So
they will have a nice state dock sitting in that ramp now instead of the one that was in there, I would guess.
You know, I actually, in that situation there, I actually believe we're using Black Claw's boat ramp in that situation and dock in that situation. But I'd have to look at, and I'd have to talk with Rhett Russell, our access person, to really remember what we do in that one there. So
I can live with that.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it'll be great access and great opportunity to get out and catch some fish. So, yeah, and you know, another thing that you mentioned was winter kills. You know, this year with our bad winter that we had lots of snow out on the ice. And then, of course, we had thick ice. It was severe cold blowing. It was just kind of a miserable winter.
It was miserable.
It was.
But the good news is you have a big spawn, so we're going to help it out.
Yeah, we're going to, exactly that. We're going to help it out. You know, what happens with the winter kills is basically, Lakes go dark. There's too much snow. The sun can't get through. The plants can't grow. They can't photosynthesize and add oxygen into the water. And in that situation there, you have the plants that died from the year before or years before, and they're actually taking up oxygen. So you end up with a winter kill type situation. And some lakes, you know, you can have bays that will winter kill. You can have total winter kill. So we're really looking at all the different, I guess, things that happened across the countryside. Right here in the Watertown area specific, we had McLaughlin Ponds winter killed. As you know, you drive by that, you could see carp. You could see all kinds of different critters out there or fish out there floating. Third Avenue Ponds, Kempeska Pits, and then a lot of different smaller sloughs that maybe people didn't even know fish were in.
I've driven by and written down where I didn't think there were fish because here in a few years I'm going to tap at once and see if there's any back.
Yeah. Other lakes that did winter kill in the Northeast, you know, a lot of different sloughs that are not necessarily managed fisheries, but people may have, you know, fished on or maybe even didn't even know that there's fish in them. But South Red Iron, mm-hmm. 9 Mile up in Marshall County, and Bailey Lake over in Clark County. I know that's a really good early year lake or early spring lake for catching walleyes on there. Sounds like we had some winter loss out there, and we don't know how much, if it's a partial, if it's a full. We have to take a look at what we have going on out there, and fisher crews will be out there and testing the lake.
So. That lake was so chock full of perch. I mean, you drop a mm-hmm. camera in there winter, it looked like an aquarium.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me much. Not much at all, actually.
Yeah, so, you know, and it can be kind of a blessing in disguise on some of these lakes when we do have a winter kill. You might have a lot of rough fish. You might have carp. You might have bullheads. You might have who knows what. So you end up having this total winter kill of all the fish in the lake, and then you add a whole bunch of spring runoff. Lake levels go up. Lake gets stocked back with fish or has a natural run of fish into the lake somehow. And again, you start that cycle all over of fish growing really fast, a lot of invertebrates for them to eat, and it can be a blessing in disguise. So a lot of different things. Right here in Watertown, we did do some pike trap and transfer.
Do they die? I thought they just walked to other lakes.
Yeah. I think they actually drill a hole and hop out. But from other lakes, we did trap and transfer some pike in, and primarily for youth to go fish. Right here in Watertown at Redland Arts Center, there's two ponds there. We have the South Pond we stock with pike, and that's stocked right now. So if you have a kid that wants to get out and do a little fishing somewhere right here in town, mom or dad wants to take them, that'd be a great spot. It's a small pond, and it's full.
Well, good deal.
We put a full boat in there, so they'll be able to catch some for sure.
Perfect.
Yeah, so a lot of different things.
So I got a question on these lakes, like Minke Slough in particular that had a big winter kill. That mm-hmm. was never on the stocking program, but it's a fairly popular fishery. Is there any plans to restock that, or what's going to happen to the lakes? Not just necessarily that one, but ones like that.
Yeah, so non-meandered waters like that. A lot of how some of these lakes got stocked with fish is that they were used for rearing ponds. Mm-hmm. I don't know how a minke got fishing, and I'm not really sure. I'd have to visit with fisheries crews to see what their thoughts were on that. But a lot of these sloughs were used as rearing ponds where the landowner allows Game Fish and Parks access to go out there and use that pond for putting fry in. Game Fish and Parks fisheries crews at the end of the season, they'll go in and they'll net out all the walleyes that they possibly can get, and then they stock them into other lakes, and then what's left is what's left. Mm-hmm. And that may have been what happened to Minke Slough. I'm not really sure. But in that situation for Minke Slough, you know, I don't know, to be honest with you.
Answer.
So
that went into the winter with no oxygen after that algae bloom, that in Casey's, so it was low to start with.
Yeah.
And shallow.
A lot of these lakes have been going down over the years, and then you have a winter like this, and it's like, mm-hmm. Oh boy, I think we're going to see some fish floating this spring, but now the water levels are going back up, so
it's nice to see. I know some of the guys with the flooded roads aren't real happy, but the lakes are happy.
Yeah. Well, one positive thing is fishing, of course. Flooded roads, nobody wants that.
No.
Or houses, that's for sure. Yeah, I drive absolutely. By Kempeska twice a day, and I see those flooded houses there out there, and it just you don't like to see that.
No. So I went down by Ponset the other day, and my heart hurts for them people. They've got problems.
Yep. A little help from Mother Nature would be beneficial this spring to get those water levels to go down.
It's going
to
help. Areas. Sounds like we're going to snow now.
Yeah.
And the last but not least, something near and dear to my heart is this Game Fish and Parks Commission. meeting.
Yeah, you bet. So as part of a Game Fish and Parks strategic plan, one of our goals is to simplify rules so it's easy for the public to understand, to go out and recreate, et cetera. And one of the other things is to enhance recreation. Where can we add recreation by maybe even eliminating some rules that, you know, don't have a real high biological effect? So with that, in the fall of 2017, Game Fish Parks, we assembled a 10-person work group to kind of look at the boating restrictions and refuges across South Dakota. A lot of these boating restrictions and refuges were put in place, some of them as early as the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. A lot of the situations or times when these boating restrictions or refuges were put in place was when a time when South Dakota was very dry. There's very limited places for waterfowl to stage or for people to recreate, etc. Well, as you know, you go across the countryside, things have changed drastically since 96, 97, and there is water all over the place. So there's a lot of different areas for people to recreate, a lot of different areas for waterfowl to stage. But with that, we just took a look at all the different rules and restrictions that we have out there. And we had a couple goals with this work group. One of the goals was to come up with some criteria to consider when implementing boating restrictions and refuges, because in a lot of situations, quite frankly, over the years when some of these were put in place, there wasn't really a hard and fast, you know, what should you be thinking about, what should you be looking at, you know, you might have been a local project, etc. And then the other thing, as I mentioned before, is just to look at ways that we can simplify and maybe enhance some recreational opportunities. So criteria was formulated, presented to the Game Fish and Parks Commission in June of 2018. Along with the criteria, we looked at 21 different restrictions that we proposed. In July of 2018, Commission came back, finalized 15 of the 21 restrictions. Long Lake in Coddington County was one of the restrictions that was proposed. As we know, there's a no boating zone on the north half of the lake year-round. Yep. And in July of 2018, that proposal was tabled for the time being. They wanted to have some more discussion on what some possible opportunities out there of what we could do. The original proposal was to turn the north half to electric motors only from October 20th on. There was some concern there that there could be some safety issues with people kind of going out there with an electric trolling motor, maybe thinking it's a little better than, you know, maybe the battery you thought was a little better than what it was. You get 2 miles out or a mile out and
pretty soon you're floating.
Yeah, pretty soon you're floating. And as we know in South Dakota, you can fly a kite any day of the week.
That's
and
right.
Wind comes up and bad things happen.
So what another issue that Long Lake, when this came up last year, is it's full of hazards. And last year the hazards were all over the place on that south end.
Mm-hmm.
So now the water's up 2-3 foot. You know, it's a lot more navigable now.
Yeah. So we did go back to the drawing board, and we looked at it, and in the end, the work group suggested and proposed that we just eliminate the restriction altogether on the north side of Long Lake. The proposal was accepted this last month in Rapid City, and it would be finalized, if passed, by the Game Fish and Parks Commission in Custer State Park here in early May. And again, what it would do is it would remove that no boating restriction on the north end. And some of the reasons kind of why we went that way as far as removing that restriction. You know, popular fishery close to Watertown. We want folks to be able to get out and recreate close to town or close to where they live. That, you know, basically when people don't have to drive as far, they go more often. So, yeah,
but I'm afraid of that. I live on the south side of Long Lake, and I'm really afraid that's going to happen. That's my favorite.
You don't want company is what you're saying.
That's right. I love it the way it is, but I sure understand it.
Yeah. So it is a managed fishery. You stock with walleye on a biannual basis. Has a strong perch population, as you know. You know, if finalized, one of the issues that we have out there with that no boating restriction on the north end, that's really the good fishing water right there.
I know it.
That's really the area that's the deepest. That's the area with good rocky shorelines. And that's the area where a lot of people want to fish. And that's the area, the best place to put a boat ramp. So
off that state hill going into the water. Yeah. That's Northwest Bay, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the areas that we're going to key in on. If this was passed, we'd look at adding a boat ramp there so people can get boats a little in and out a little bit more. Maybe add some amenities. Maybe put an outhouse or something like that, you know,
Perfect.
So folks get out and recreate and have some of those amenities. So that'd be a real
good thing. It's a good bay. The only wind that's going to hurt you is a storm wind, and you shouldn't be out fishing in that anyway.
Yeah.
Like hard southeast wind will probably wreck it a little bit, but that would have to be about it.
Yeah. And we have that on all kinds of different lakes, and of course South Dakota, just windswept area, and we just have to work with that all the time. But really offer an opportunity for folks to get out and recreate. You have anglers, you have boaters, you have duck hunters in the fall that could use it as well.
Just for the record, you can't be on there with a boat right now, right? Even a kayak?
So the north end is a no-boating zone, so that's everything from a kayak to an inner tube, I suppose.
From that guy I saw in the kayak the other night, get out of there for now.
Well, those have really become popular, you know, kayaks, and they're fun, and it's, times have changed, and we got to change with them. And that's one other opportunity that people like to really get out and utilize. So if a person's want to provide input, can do so. Go to the Game Fish and Parks website. Go to the commission tab there. You can read all about commission. You can look at agendas. You can listen to actual previous commission meetings. You can listen live. It's really quite a transparent process. And you can also offer up your opportunity there to weigh in on a subject. If you wanted to do a rule change, that's where you do it as well. It's quite easy in South Dakota. It's a very simple process. So, and of course, anytime somebody wants to visit about whether it's Long Lake, whether it's Winter Kills, anything, you can certainly give me a call at Game Fish and Parks office here in Watertown at 882-5200 and be happy to visit.
Well, we appreciate it. In the last couple seconds before we move up to Steve up at Big Stone, talk on Blythe Slough? Are they going to change the motor restriction on that anytime soon?
Blythe Slough, we did look at that one. We looked at that one a lot. There's a lot of different factors that play into that. Blythe Slough has a lot of Canada geese that are summering and molting out there, high as 700 geese in some years. So we have that right there as an area for those geese to loaf and hang out and not cause damage in bean fields across the northeast. And then also we have a rookery out there that has a high level of species, non-game species, egrets, a lot of different gulls, a lot of different herons and things like that. So, and they're real prone to disturbance. So our thought is that if we were to allow for motorized boating out there in the summertime, one, we're afraid a little bit about pushing those geese into a problem area, and then number two, we're afraid that we might push those that colony a little bit hard. So
good enough.
Gonna leave it for now.
Leave it for ice fishing. That's what I
want
to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome to stick in here, Mike. We're going to talk to Steve Peach up at Big Stone, who's getting ready for the MWC right now. The man in the black hat. Steve, are you there?
We are here. Brenda and I are just ready to get our feet wet again today.
So, Steve, what are you seeing up there for this tournament?
Well, the ice went off officially on Sunday morning, and the wind's blowing pretty good. We had a couple good rain squalls yesterday through here, and she's pretty muddy. Fishing is pretty slow at best.
Well, we chatted yesterday, and one thing that's a constant for that Big Stone MWC is the weather's going to be terrible.
Always. We got big snow coming on Saturday just to cap it, make us feel at home.
That's right. You'll love it. You guys from Minnesota, you're right at home. Throw your auger in your boat and get to work.
Well, we're tougher than woodpecker lips, but it gets a little trying.
Well, Steve, you've seen the boats around Big Stone. How many people are we looking at for that field for the MWC?
I haven't heard an official number on it, but the amount of boats that we've seen out here yesterday, I'd have to say that we're probably in that 50-60 boat range, but I have not seen an official number yet.
That would be good. That's a lot higher than I thought it'd be, considering our ice out was within hours.
Yeah, and the motels are not full by the looks of it. So
that's kind of what I was hearing. So you're looking at muddy water in Big Stone, which is going to be a game changer for everybody. Don't let any cats out of the bag, but what do you think is going to happen here? What's it going to take to win, and what's going to be the best presentation out there?
If you can weigh 12 to 15 pounds 2 days in a row, you're going to be right up there in the top of the field, be my guess. I don't know that even that's going to happen. But you got local favorites like Artie from Artie's Bait here. He's he's hell on wheels down there. Mike Doris, no slouch. Brenda and I, every once in a while, get lucky and pull a straggler out.
Oh, don't kid yourself. Mike Doris is a tremendous slouch. I hope he's listening.
Yeah. Brenda says that goes along with the boy and squirrel thing for us down here on this body of water. Not traditionally one of our best bodies, but we pulled off a sixth place here a few years ago, so we're hoping that we can do it again today. Lots of time in breaking a new motor in yesterday and for a little while today, so covered a lot of ground and looking things over.
Well, good deal, Steve. I tell you, one thing's going to be a positive up there is that place with muddy water is going to be a field leveler. Nobody's used to fishing at muddy, and probably not even Artie, but he'll probably have the best chance.
Yeah, he's a local favorite. Of course, he's won this particular tournament 2 years in a row. Not last year, we weren't here. The year prior and the year prior to that, Artie pulled it off 2 years straight. And he's a local favorite, all right. But I think it's anybody's game down here, and I sure enough hope it's our game.
Well, great. Steve, I sure appreciate you checking in with me. We gotta get rolling, but I wish you and Brenda the best. And I'll probably check in with you tomorrow night to see what you found.
Sounds good, pal. You guys have a great day.
I appreciate it. We're signing off. Another week for On the Water and In the Air. Randy, we're out of here.